Everything changes when Jesus becomes Lord of your life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell explains what it means to have new life in Christ.
But we, according to the Bible in Ezekiel 36, have a new and a holy life, and we have a new heart, and we have a new creation within us, and we are new men and new women. And according to Revelation 2 and 17, we have a new name. And according to Psalm 40, we sing a new song. Hey, you don't have to live the old life today. You can live the new life of Jesus Christ today, because Jesus Christ lives in you.
The single most important event in a person's life is the new birth. Yet this is also one of the most neglected doctrines in the church. In our series, New Life Today, we'll discover what happens when a Christian becomes born again. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Living for God is not only our sacred privilege as Christians, but it is the most fulfilling, rewarding life possible. In the heart of every Christian, God has placed a compelling desire to live for Him. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part one of a message called, How to Live the New Life.
Upon the first day of the week, we celebrate our resurrected Savior. And today, as we look at Romans chapter 6, we're going to learn some great things about the resurrection. Not only the historical fact of Jesus Christ resurrecting from the dead, but also how that affects our lives each and every day. And so I want you to take out your notes this morning, and I want you to turn there in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, because Romans 6 is where we have been learning about how to experience new life every day. You know, a lot of people can look back at the resurrection, or they can look back to a decision they made for the Lord in their life, but they might say that things are not as good as they used to be. Things are not as fresh as they used to be. But we're going to learn this morning that God has designed the Christian life so that every day is a resurrection day. And we learn about that in Romans chapter 6. In fact, look if you would at verse number 4 as we get started this morning by way of introduction. The Bible says, and we saw this a few weeks ago, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. This speaks not only of water baptism, but it speaks of our identifying with Christ in his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So God says that everyone that is saved, everyone that is in Christ, that we have a new identity. And even as Christ died, our old man died and was crucified. And even as he rose again, we rise up as saved people in newness of life. God does not want us to revert back to the old life. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or lifestyle, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, someone might say, wait a minute, I can't be holy. I mean, I barely got to church today, if you only knew. But let me help you with something. The word holy does not only mean righteous or good. It means to be set apart. It means to be sanctified. And what we learn from that is that God not only saves us on the day of our salvation, but he wants to keep sanctifying us or changing us until the day that he calls us home to be with him. And so the Christian life is to be a resurrected life, a new life each and every day. One illustration that I like in the New Testament that kind of pictures that is the story of Lazarus. You might remember Lazarus and how Jesus was called to Bethany, and he went there, and Lazarus' sisters were a little disappointed that he took so long to get there. In fact, they said, Lord, he's been dead. He probably stinks already. He's in the tomb there. And the Bible says in John 11, 43, and when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. In other words, when he was resurrected, they had to take off the grave clothes. They had to unwind all of those grave clothes so that he could begin walking in his new life. And this is what we want to learn this morning, that as a believer, God wants us to take off the grave clothes of the old life, the old man, and to walk in newness of life each and every day. Now, someone might say, well, that sounds like a great theory, and I really wish I could have newness of life each and every day, but how does that happen? And that's what I want to speak to you about this morning, how to live the new life. How to live the new life. And I'm going to teach you from the Bible the three key words from Romans 6 that teach us how to live the new life, how to experience resurrection power every day in our lives. Three words are going to sum it up for us. The first word is the word know, and we're going to find that we need to know our position in Christ, and that's a key word in Romans 6. The second word is going to be this word reckon, and we're going to learn and study what does it mean to reckon. And thirdly, we're going to study the word yield. So three words, know, reckon, and yield. And by the time this message is over, I'm going to be challenging you to remember those three words tomorrow morning and for the next several mornings until they become a part of your vocabulary so that we can all experience new life every day. Now, when we study Romans chapter 6, the very first thing that we see God wants us to know, he wants us to know our position in Jesus Christ. Notice this in verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Notice verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. So here we see the word know. It is the Greek word genosko. It speaks of perceiving a truth or understanding facts. Now, the Bible speaks to us in many ways. Fundamentally, it speaks spiritually to us, and we are drawn by the Holy Spirit of God to the Word of God. But the Bible speaks to us also academically and intellectually. There are some things we need to know. For example, you cannot be saved until you know that you are a sinner, until you know that Jesus died for your sin and that he rose up again. There are some things we have to know in order to act upon them. In fact, in Hosea 4 and 6, the prophet said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They did not understand God's will for their life." In fact, we can't live what we don't know. We have to know certain truths if we're going to live new life every day. Our responsibility to live the new life, our opportunity to live the new life, is linked to what we know from the Word of God. And the Bible is very clear that there are some things that we are to know and things that we are knowing or understanding from the Bible. It reminds me of the story of two little boys that accidentally cut off their pet turtle's head. And if they were like me and my brothers, I don't know what an accident that was, but the story is that it was an accident, and the turtle was running around still in the backyard, just running and running and running. And finally, the older brother said, "Well, he's dead. He just doesn't know it yet." Now, there are some Christians who have great victory and have had some great accomplishments made for them by the Lord, but they're not living in those victories and accomplishments yet. They don't really know yet what God has completed for them. So what are some things God wants us to know? Let me give you a couple. First of all, he wants us to know that believers are one with Christ. Believers are at one with Christ. Notice verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. So we are one with Christ in his death. The old man, which we studied a few weeks ago, is a term that describes the dominion of the old nature. Our old Adamic nature was crucified. When Jesus died on the cross, our victory over sin and Satan was accomplished at the cross. Now, we'll see in a moment, Christians sometimes intermittently will sin, and we'll talk about that. But the dominion of sin, the fact that you can never escape sin, that was broken at the cross of Jesus Christ when he shed his blood for you and for me, the head of Satan was crushed. And this is a completed reality. It's something you've got to know, that you have the victory in Jesus Christ. Our old sinful identity from Adam has been crucified. That's why Ephesians 4:22 says, put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. And so we are one with Christ in that he died on the cross and our old nature was crucified there as well. And then also we are one with Christ in his resurrection. The fact that he rose up again also promises, as the first fruits of the resurrection, that we will rise up again and that we even today have a resurrected nature within us. Notice, if you would, in verse 8, the Bible says, now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Romans 6:10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that because Jesus Christ arose, I have the promise that one day I will rise up again as well. The Bible says the trump of God will sound and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain will join them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And all of that is because Jesus conquered death and the grave. So believers are one in Christ, and you've got to know that. You've got to know that when he died, the old man of sin was conquered, and your life has victory because of his death. And that when he rose up again, you receive the promise as a believer of resurrection in Jesus Christ. So we are one with Christ. The second thing you need to know is that we are new in Christ. We are made new in Christ. Now look at verse 10 as we put some pieces together from Romans 6. It says, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father. We also now as believers live unto God. We are, as the Bible says, dead indeed unto sin. Jesus died unto sin once, and we identify with that victory even today. The believer is no longer under the tyranny of sin. We are resurrected in Christ. Now that is a truth that is found in Galatians 2:20. And I want you to look in your notes. We've seen this verse before, but notice in your notes, Galatians 2:20, this is what it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. All right, now notice the first phrase and say it with me. I am crucified with Christ. Let's say that together. I, okay, there you have your identity with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Right? And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So the old man is crucified with Christ. That's my identity. And the new man, Jesus Christ in me, is alive and well. And so we are to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And so as Jesus lives, we now live because we have received Jesus Christ as our Savior. And that's why 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, remember that phrase is very critical, in Christ. We're talking about what we've got to know. I am in Christ. I know that. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. That's what I am, and that's what I know. I am in Christ. Old things are passing away. All things have become new. So your position, your identity is found in Christ. And this is something that we know from Romans chapter 6. Our identity is found in Christ. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not have a losing identity. You have a resurrected identity. You have a new life. That's what you need to know. The Bible says about you, you are not a loser. You are a winner in Jesus Christ. Everybody with me on that this morning? So the first word is know, knowing this. The old man is dead, the new man is alive, and you have a winning identity in Jesus Christ. That's what you've got to know, all right? But let's look at the next word. The next word is reckon. Now, some of my Southern members here, some of you understand the word, right? Y'all want to go to Chick-fil-A? I reckon so. Let's go. You know what I'm talking about. Now, we have Cracker Barrel now here in Southern California. We feel very privileged, but I can hear someone from the South saying, you want to go to Cracker Barrel? I reckon so. Let's go. It's a good Southern word. And Southerners would tell you it's a good word because it's a Bible word, right? And there is some truth to that. I want you to see that in verse 11. I want you to see the word reckon. It says, likewise, what's the next word say? Come on now, help me out here. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Now the word reckon means to calculate or to affirm in your mind or conclude to be true. Now stay with me. It is one thing to know something. It is another thing to reckon something. Reckoning is the appropriation of the truth. To know speaks of the mind. The word reckon speaks of the heart. You say, well, I know that Jesus died and rose again for me, and I know the Bible says that I can have newness of life, but there's a step of faith to reckon and begin living that way. I reckon I'll do that. I reckon that's the truth. I'm making an accounting decision, just like you take your checkbook and you figure out, all right, I've got $12.11. And you reckon that to be a fact. God says, I want you to come to my word. I want you to know who you are in Christ. And then I want you to reckon on that. And I want you from the heart to begin living that way. Now, why is it that some Christians have trouble really reckoning with who they are in Christ? Why do they live their whole life like they're a loser, with guilt? Why do they live with voices from the past shouting at them, you'll never make it? Why do they let the devil put them down? Why is it that sometimes we never truly reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive unto Jesus Christ? Why is it that some Christians never experience new life any day, much less every day? Well, I think there's a couple reasons. There's a couple ways that we're challenged at this point. I think, first of all, as we think of the challenges to our reckoning, one of the reasons we're challenged is because of Satan's lies. How many of you know that Satan is a liar? If you don't, I'm telling you he is. John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, and there is no truth in him. Now, maybe it's hard to believe that the old nature is crucified and that Jesus is living in you because Satan doesn't want you to believe that, because Satan lies, because Satan creates doubt. I believe that's one of the reasons. I believe another reason that people struggle is because whenever there is sin in someone's life, then sin causes us to doubt and we think, wait a minute, if I thought that thought, if I did that deed, then certainly I'm not even saved. Like, look at all these people in this church that are perfect. They all grew up memorizing scripture from the nursery time, and they've never had a bad thought, and they've never sinned, and therefore I am, and the devil, how many of you know, the devil likes to pour guilt on like that. The devil causes doubt like that and creates conflict. Now, let me tell you that the dominion of Adam's nature over you has been conquered at the grave, but the flesh, the body that you and I live in, is still real. And there will come times when you will be disappointed even within yourself. In fact, the Apostle Paul was. Look at what Paul said in Romans 7 and verse 18. He said this, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, right? He's not talking about the Adamic nature that has been crucified, but in this fleshly body with which he lives, in which he lives, he says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do evil, when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now what is Paul saying? This is one of the reasons I believe the Bible is the infallible word of God. Because God's word is honest. It tells us that David had times of discouragement, and it tells us that Elijah had times of depression, and it tells us that Paul had times when he should have done something but didn't do it, and he shouldn't have had something done something and he did do it. And what we realize here is that there are times in our lives when we know what is right and we don't do what is right, and it is those times that will cause doubt in our mind, perhaps even about our very relationship with God. And let me just say here quickly, sin does not affect salvation, if it's true salvation. It does affect assurance. And you'll struggle with the assurance of salvation when sin comes into your life, and Satan will sometimes compound that. And thus there is a challenge in really reckoning that I am in Christ and that my old nature is dead. So I want to tell you that if you're truly saved and there are times in your life when you think something that disappoints you or you do something that disappoints you, may I simply say that so long as you are not under the dominion of Satan, so long as you are feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit when you sin, then I encourage you to repent of that sin and get on living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Challenges come, though, when we have doubt from Satan. Challenges come when we sin. So how can we change that? How can we change the way that we live? And that happens when we reckon what God tells us to reckon. When we change when we reckon. Now look at verse number 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now, I want to tell you how to reckon. First of all, we reckon when we believe the word of God. Reckoning is based on actual facts. To reckon is to act in faith on what you know. So you know what the Bible says, that the old man is dead and that the new man reigns in Jesus Christ. You know that. But now reckoning, you're going to act upon that. Romans 10 and 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith gives you confidence to say, the Bible tells me that my old Adamic nature is conquered, and that I have a resurrected presence, Jesus Christ, living within me. And now then, I reckon that to be true, and I am going to live that reality today. Lord, today I reckon myself to be dead indeed unto the power of sin and alive unto Jesus Christ. And you appropriate that by faith. That's what reckoning does. It appropriates truth by faith. Let me illustrate it this way. Sometimes I'll be at an airport and I'll observe people. And how many of you are like me? You're just like sometimes just watching people in public places. Just it's curious and sometimes humorous. And sometimes you'll see people that have their ticket. It's already theirs, it's already reserved, they've got it in their pocket or on their phone, and they're just sitting there having a Starbucks, reading emails, talking to their friends, pretty relaxed. Then you'll see people that are on standby, and it is just the opposite. People that are on standby, they're walking back and forth, they're pacing, they're looking at the agent over here, they're trying to catch the agent's eye. Any seats available? Any seats available? There's three available, but there's nine on standby. I think I put my reservation in 3 months ago. I think I have 12,000 miles. Does that get me up there? Am I going to make it into the top? We'll let you know, sir. Okay, and they pace some more, and they pace some more. They drink some coffee. Maybe they go to the smoking room and smoke or something. You know. Then they come back. How am I looking? They're on standby, so they're nervous all the time. They don't know where they stand with the airline. And there are many Christians who are living as though they are on standby when they have a ticket. They're living on standby. They're wondering where they stand with God. And God says, look, you got to know something. That when I died, your victory was won. Adam was defeated. And you're alive in Jesus Christ. And you've got to not just know it here. You've got to reckon it here. And stop living like a standby Christian. And start living like a first class Christian. And living the way that God wants you to live, with assurance in your heart that you belong to him and that you can have new life every day. See, you don't live your life as a standby Christian. You live your life as a Christian that has a ticket, and God knows who you are. He knows your name. You're accepted in the Beloved, and he is ready to walk with you tomorrow morning. And so we must believe God's word. We must believe that we are no longer under dominion. The Bible says in verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, Go to paulchapel.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchapel.com.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchapel.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.